The button. But there's the button I forgot. So all you've really missed is the intro so far. It's a conversation 7 years in the making, the horn. And, of course, I hope if the spirit so moveth you, so moveth thee, shall we be? Hey, let's do the show in King James English tonight. No, let's don't. But, no, if the spirit moves you, I hope you'll be part of that. I hope you'll be part of that. That conversation. Where to begin? Let's see. I had a little moment. I watched the clip a little bit earlier today of Olbermann talking with Sam Cedar, who is an amazing talent and a really, really bright and brilliant guy. Had him on his show. Olbermann had him on his show last night to talk about the ongoing efforts to discredit Occupy Wall Street. I was proud of myself. Little flashes of brilliance sort of bounce by. I'll tell you what I meant. Stand by. Here we go.
First, the protesters were drugged-up hippies. Then, they were anti-Semitic. Then, yesterday, they were part of the Muslim Brotherhood. Our number one story now, the right wing has grasped at its next straw. The Occupy movement is actually being organized by the most vile of community organizations, Acorn. In an article on FoxNews.com's front page titled Exclusive, Acorn Playing Behind... This must be real. What people don't understand is that... is the supposed involvement.
We'll
the
just move forward a little bit to bring on Sam Cedar.
Good to see you, Sam.
Nice to see you, Keith.
Who do you have in the pool about who it's going to be tomorrow? And I think...
Okay, see, who do you have in the pool on who it's going to be tomorrow? I was so proud of myself. I have to share this with you. Because the first thing right through my brain was, I'll take new Black Panther Party in the Bohemian Grove, Keith, for $500? These people are really lunatics. I mean the for-profit media, and particularly the right-wing dominated Radio Rwanda for-profit media. Now, I don't have audio for you, I get the emails, Bob, quit doing this to yourself. You know, it's on at 6 o'clock in the morning, and Amy Goodman ain't. So, I mentioned in passing with Jim that I would... be rereading Barbara Tuchman's brilliant The Guns of August, and in fact, it's available on Kindle now. And that's a weird standard I've now set for book reading, but you know, I live in the boonies, so, and there's, you know, I can get, if I went to my public library, I could probably get the Left Behind series in Finnish and Linear A. But good luck getting something like, The Guns of August by Barbara Tuchman. So, yeah, it's on my Kindle, and I was rereading that, but I also had some TV going in the background, and yes, it was that guy and his blonde lady sidekick. And you would have sworn, I'm kind of glad I was there, because it was weird. You would have sworn that Joe Scarborough, who was just a week ago... being chastised by a reporter from CNBC for being a part of the problem, for his constant dope-smoking, bongo-playing, drum-circle, patchouli-whiffing, dreadlock-wearing, hippie put-downs of Occupy Wall Street. Well, all of a sudden, he's shocked, shocked, I tell you, to find out that the corporate police state had been unleashed on peaceful, nonviolent protesters in Oakland, and a Marine vet with two tours of Iraq under his belt had had what appears to be not a tear gas canister nor a rubber bullet, but rather a 40-gram beanbag full of lead shot propelled at close quarters into his head, fracturing his skull and putting him in critical condition, followed by another cop throwing a couple of flashbang grenades into the group of people who were trying to render the young man, 24 years old, assistance. Joe Scarborough was shocked. Shocked, I tell you. And so, too, was Harold Ford. Harold, call me. Yeah, Harold was shocked, even though a scant week before, he had been suggesting that Wall Street needs to ignore Occupy Wall Street and go on being the 1% ubermenschen that they so obviously are. You see what I mean? It's kind of weird. Nobody's ever going to accuse the Joe Scarborough of being a raving liberal. But there it was. There it was. Joe Scarborough decrying the police brutality and violence. I don't know. Maybe, is it too much to hope? Is there a possibility? That he's got a conscience? I know it's a stretch, isn't it? But the crazy is leaking out all over the place. So you got Joe Scarborough doing that. Some of the only honest reporting I've seen in the professional media was an account on the UK Guardian's website. Naturally, you can't find any honest coverage in the United States. That would involve an actual functioning press, and we don't have one. We've got the corporate answer to Pravda and Izvestia and TASS. So just, I mean, you get the idea. But there are open questions as to, you know, well, what it means, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. Maybe there's a great degree of, what would we call it? A great degree of relief now. You know, maybe the 1% can finally begin to try to understand the Occupy Wall Street 99%, because lo and behold, they have issued their first official statement. They've issued a set of demands. And, you know, there's something about set of demands that's off-putting. Not because I'm some sort of friend of the 1%, I'm not. But it seems all the while that these right-wing and for-profit media types who are, what are their demands? Well, you know, you ask that of somebody who's hijacked an airliner or taken hostages during a bank heist. And I think that tells us a little bit about how the right-wing and the for-profit media actually felt about Occupy Wall Street. But lo and behold, through a consensus-based decision-making process, Occupy Wall Street has issued a rather elegant set of both an official statement and complaints, if nothing else. Acknowledgements of, as they put it, reality. This is going to make the 1% even nervouser. Ooh, fun word that. Oh, I'm sorry, this was actually, well, I'm behind the times. I just read it and didn't see the date, but it's been out there for a while. It obviously, it obviously tracks with the Declaration of Independence, as you would expect. And still, they don't know quite what to make of it, the 1%. There's no doubt, there is no doubt whatsoever that Marion Robertson, otherwise known as Pat, is a member of the 1%. I mean, this guy's got interests in diamond mines, for Christ's sakes. And like some sort of medieval pope. And I can't, well, I don't know, this is, can you imagine ever being someone who would ask an important question of, say, Dr. Laura? You know, if you call Dr. Laura with a serious personal problem, you're only going to get upbraided and humiliated on the air, assuming she is on the air somewhere. I don't know and don't much care. But it's kind of dumb. It's kind of like going to a Roman Catholic priest for advice about, you know, marriage counseling. But no, like some sort of medieval pope, Pat Robertson is now answering questions about whether or not to participate in Occupy Wall Street. Okay, come on. Are one of you occupiers out there sending questions to Pat just to making him embarrass himself? That's not nice. The old coot's crazier than a sprayed roach anyway. Let's not poke him with a sharp stick. But no, someone did. Someone, well, just listen.
It's all right for Christians to be involved in Occupy Wall Street. Should we as believers be loyal to anything like that?
No, I don't. I think this is a rebellion. I think it is atavistic. Nobody knows exactly what it is. They don't know what they're doing. Why are they there? Well, they're just mad. Well, is it right for a Christian just to get involved in a protest of anger? If you're going to demonstrate...
Well, not that I'm going to make a big deal out of it or anything. I probably will. You know me. But there was that whole Jesus chasing the money changers out of the temple thing. Just saying. What do they want? This is just too much fun. I gotta hear him some more. It's what I've got instead of drinking now.
Does believers be loyal to anything like that?
No, I don't. I think this is a rebellion. I think it is.
I think this is a rebellion. Now, just kind of keep that in your noggin for a minute. I think this is a rebellion, says Marion Robertson. And it's obvious that he doesn't think that rebellions are necessarily good things. Are they? I mean, is there anything... Is there anything in, I don't know, the holy book that, or the book that Marion Robertson reveres as holy? Well, let's find out. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him I will also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. On and on and on and on. I came not to send peace on earth. I came to, not to send peace, but a sword. That sounds a little bit like a, I don't know, a rebellion, doesn't it? It sounded enough like a rebellion to get the power elite, the 1% of his day, to murder him. You wanna rethink that, Marion? Maybe a little bit, sorta.
I don't. I think this is a rebellion. I think it is atavistic. Nobody knows exactly what it is. They don't know what they're doing. Why are they there? Well, they're just mad. Is it right for a...
Well, see, you're a millionaire, Pat, so you wouldn't understand why they're there. You don't know what it's like to wonder where your next meal's coming from. You don't know what it's like to wonder if you're going to have a job, if the people in your class are going to dismantle Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, and everything that's supposed to keep us from falling through the cracks.
Just to get involved in a protest of anger... If you...
Where's the anger? Have I missed the footage? Because I didn't see, and you know, one of the things of value that was said this morning on that program was uttered by Mike Barnicle. And he said, what you saw there, Joe, and this was very important. I can just imagine the one percenters who are hastily jotting down the notes about what's on sale at Joseph A. Bank this week. I can just imagine the one percenters sitting there. Enid, did you hear what he said? Oh, I don't know about Canfield, because Mike Barnicle said of Occupy Wall Street and the assault by the cops in Oakland, he said, what you're seeing here is a police riot. Let me say that again. What you're seeing here is a police riot. And proceeded to give a little bit of education to poor little Ivory Tower Joe and Ivory Tower Mika about the conduct of the Oakland police over the course of the last 10, 15 years or so. It was the best description I've seen yet, heard yet. What you're seeing here is a police riot. It was the police department of the city of Oakland rioting in its own right, cracking some skulls, as it were, and damned well enjoying doing it. But Pat Robertson, Marion Robertson, Marion thinks that it's the Occupy Wall Street people who are angry. They're just angry. Why would you participate in something that's just anger? I've followed a bunch of this. I don't get this assertion of anger. Concern? Absolutely. Fear? Yes. Uncertainty? Undoubtedly. But they're not all just standing down there in Liberty Square or anywhere else around the country snarling at the banks. They're not claiming that banking itself is bad. They're claiming that the way the banks have been allowed to get away with something nigh murder is bad. And that's not even nuance. That's pretty damn broad. But do, please, continue, Marion. Marion? Sorry, little Happy Days moment there.
If you're going to demonstrate for righteousness, demonstrate to lift the yoke of oppression, demonstrate to help.
Time! Oh, time out! Throw the little weighted red hanky out on the field. I want a replay.
If you're going to demonstrate for righteousness, demonstrate to lift the yoke of oppression.
Demonstrate to lift the yoke of oppression. Of course, in Marion Robertson world, the only people being oppressed are the Christians. Right? Well, that's... Yeah, they think they're being persecuted, without a doubt. But this is all about oppression. When 1% of the country has 40% of the wealth, and 99%... well, you know the math better than I do. But poor Marion's just lost.
Demonstrate to help those that are poverty-stricken.
Hello? I mean, is he drinking before the program or something? He says, don't join Occupy Wall Street, but demonstrate to lift the yoke of oppression and demonstrate to help the poverty-stricken. What the hell does he think this is? Well, I'll tell you what he thinks it is. He thinks it's a bunch of patchouli-scented hippies peeing in the park and being rebellious against mommy and daddy until they go back to school and, you know, just like he did, and then get a cushy position in the Army as a liquor supply officer or something. At the risk of getting it all wrong, and certainly subject to being corrected by horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner. This is kind of a little bit of transference, I think. He's remembering when he was young and feeling rebellious against his Senate daddy, his senator daddy. Thanks, by the way, to Isaac for sending this clip along. I've watched it a couple of dozen times today, and I keep just watching it going, what?
Don't just go out and mess up a park and just scream and tear up things. I mean, why should...
Do it for a reason.
Why don't you get involved in something like that? It's formless and has no purpose, but it could be used for radicals that want to destroy this nation.
It could be used by radicals who want to destroy this nation. And, of course, anytime you hear a statement like that, you're sort of compelled if you're inquisitive, to say, well, what kind of a nation does he think this is? What would be destroyed if radicals destroyed this nation? I mean, would we just roll up a big old blunt in the Constitution and pass it around, right? Twist up a number in the Declaration of Independence and kind of get high off them 238-odd-year-old ink fumes? Is that what that means? What he's telegraphing here, but what he won't say outright to his very strange audience, is that he feels threatened. Not that anyone has threatened him, but he feels threatened, because I'm sure that a man of the wealth of Marion Robertson has positions, as they like to call it, has positions that are important to him inside the casino that is otherwise known as Wall Street. Because these radicals might be trying to destroy America. What if all they're doing is trying to manifest a need for some sort of base level equanimity inside a teetering country's economic system? What if this is actually an effort to save America, not damage it? Because that's what it is. This is an intervention. And the intervention is being had for a nation that has a real problem. You know what I mean. Some of you may have participated in them somewhere along the way. You don't do an intervention with someone because you don't like them. You generally do an intervention with someone because you love them and you want them to get better and be whole and be okay and have a long, happy life instead of the foreshortened life that comes with addiction, with abuse, and with profound dysfunction. Because I don't have to tell any of you that this nation is dysfunctional. Everything ain't okay. Like I said, you know that. You most assuredly do. What else is out there? I guess you heard that somewhere in the dark and still of the night, in the wee small hours of the morning, Europe's bankers decided, well, they didn't take a haircut. They took a little off. They walked in and sat in the chair and said, just take a little off the top. They're going to forgive some debt involved in bailouts of Ireland, Portugal, and primarily Greece. But it's only to the tune of 50%. And it still leaves Greece in a horrible, horrible bind that is going to continue to be crippling to its people. What they decided to do was just strangle the goose a little bit instead of outright wringing its neck. And how did Wall Street react to the news that the Greek people are just going to be strangled instead of not completely having their necks wrung? Why, Wall Street had a little party today. The S&P 500 was up 3% on the news. Of course, it's hard for me to ignore the fact that it was also up as news filtered out more broadly of the police riot in Oakland. Wall Street likes those kinds of things. That's why America, whose business is business, the business of America is business, Calvin Coolidge. Ugh. That's why Wall Street is always fond of autocratic right-wing tin-horn crackpot dictators in banana republics and repressive fascistic regimes, because they impose control to allow the people to be more easily exsanguinated, bled out. Right? Yeah. I think poor Marion Robertson's a tiny, teensy little bit schizophrenic these days. If we're, I don't know, maybe bipolar is the more appropriate word. I've most frequently opted for the simple word crazy. But even this sounded a little bit weird coming out of his mouth a couple of days ago. Again, blabbing away on his own television network that is funded by the sales of prayer hankies, Sea of Galilee mud mask, and power shakes, and guilt. Don't forget guilt. Check this out.
You know, I believe it was Lyndon Johnson that said, don't these people realize that if they push me over to an extreme position that I'll lose the election, and I'm the one who will be supporting what they want, but they're going to make it so I can't win. Those people in the Republican primary have got to lay off this stuff. They're forcing their leaders, the front runners, into positions that will mean they lose the general election. Now, whether this did it to Cain, I don't know. But nevertheless, you know, you'll appeal to the narrow base and they'll applaud the daylights out of what you're saying, and then you hit the general election, and they say, no way, and then the Democrat, whoever it is going to just play these statements to the hilt. They've got to stop this. It's just so counterproductive. Well, if they want to lose, this is the game for losers.
And thanks to rightwingwatch.org for both of those clips. Pat is Marion is upset about the fact that the Republican presidential field is having sanity issues. And it all has to do with the revival of, for instance, birtherism. And all the extreme... You can't take anything resembling a moderate position and expect to go anywhere in the Republican primary. Look at John Huntsman. He's still a Republican, but he is the least crazy of the lot, and he has the poll numbers within the Republican Party to prove it, i.e., in the toilet. Yeah, sorry, Marty, I did leave out conflict diamonds. Indeed. Yeah, Marion wrapped up in that. Sleazy bastard. But there's plenty of crazy to go around today. And just as a sort of a warning, not really a warning, but an advisory, it's not going to get less so. It's going to ramp up a little bit every day from now. It's to the point where even loopy-ass Rick Perry is thinking about bowing out of any further pageants. Well, they're just put up there to embarrass me because I don't do so good in debates. And then, of course, there's Glenn Beck. Now, by way of preface, I got a link from our buddy Dennis in Kentucky. From over at Democratic Underground. And it's pretty touching. A photograph of a young man with a shaven head and a picture. Well, it's a photo, and he's holding up a piece of paper. In big, bold letters, "You did this to my brother." And appended to that document are the three chevrons up that the man wore on his shoulder. In reference, of course, to Mr. Olson. "You did this to my brother." Well, Glenn Beck hasn't quite gotten around to making light of Mr. Olson yet, but you can expect it just about any damn time. Remember Sergeant Shamar Thomas? In Times Square? This guy?
Have a good night, guys. You see it, baby. They don't lie.
Let's go.
They don't lie. They don't lie. They don't lie, tough guy. This is not a war zone. This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people. It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people. It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people. It doesn't. I don't care. I don't care about these people. I put in my work. It doesn't lie. It does not make you tough to hurt these people. There's nothing tough about it. Nothing. If you want to go fight, go to Iraq and Afghanistan. If you want to be here hurting U.S. citizens. Where is that in the contract? Where is that in the contract? Leave these people alone. They're U.S. citizens. U.S. citizens. U.S. citizens. U.S. It does not make you want to do this to them. It doesn't. Stop hurting these people, man.
It was an upbraiding of the New York Police Department that went viral around the world. And eventually, the nutty old gold hustler Glenn Beck got hold of it and saw it. Of course, there was no respect.
There's this great part where I couldn't take it anymore. The guy who was like, there's no honor in this.
These people are unarmed.
There's no honor in this. And I'm watching that, and I couldn't take it anymore because the video shows this Marine yelling at the police, you have to stop brutalizing. We're unarmed. And the cops all have their hands in their pockets.
They're not doing anything.
They have their hands in their pockets. They're like, We know. We're standing here.
There's no honor in standing here. What, you want us to brutalize them? Is that what you want?
Right. But that video, taken from the right angle, is just one panicked man screaming. And that, as long as you take that picture from the right side, it's pretty dramatic.
Charming, huh? Never mind the fact that the police brutality had already taken place. Never mind the fact that the cops' hands are not in their pockets. A number of them have their hands pretty close to something that they could use to subdue Sergeant Thomas. Do you remember when the Beckerhead had his Beckapalooza on the Washington Mall in August of 2010, he was going to restore honor. Remember that? Yeah, me too. Do you happen to recall what the underlying purpose of it was? Wasn't it something about a hustle to scrounge up, allegedly, monies for the families of veterans who had been hurt or for the children? I don't know. I don't remember. But it had to do with veterans and honoring them. And Glenn Beck... Well, there were practically his hand-tailored shoe prints were practically on the backs of the veterans that he was claiming to support, when in fact they were indirectly and perhaps unwittingly supporting him. Well, that's all down the toilet now, Glenn. Because if you will mock and deride and denigrate you and your little morning zoo crew there, an American veteran who managed to come back alive, then all that support the troops baloney that you preached before has been rendered ashes in your mouth, Glenn. And you're nothing more and nothing less than what you always were. Just a sad, common, carny hustler. And that's maybe a little bit unfair to carnies and hustlers. He's a multimillionaire member of the 1%. laughing at Sergeant Shamar Thomas, and in laughing at Sergeant Shamar Thomas, laughing at 24-year-old Marine Olson in Oakland, and laughing at every single human being who has the vision and insight to realize that there is something badly, badly wrong. In this country, the 1% have no interest whatsoever in fixing. And that's where they are. And that's what you're seeing is a bit of siding up. Joe Scarborough this morning was trying to do some bet hedging. The Beckerhead, knowing his ignorant audience, has no such need to do any sort of thing. He is going to mock. He's going to mock people who are about a million times better than he can ever dream of being. So that's where we find ourselves starting this evening. It's about 17 minutes before the hour. We'll take a little break and come back. You know the number, of course, and get in early so we can get to all the blinking lights before the evening is out. Number is 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on, H-E-A-D-O-N. Direct dial to save us a little bit of money on the monthly phone bill is 304-658-3333. Email comes into bobkincaid@gmail.com. We are listener-supported in the beginning of our seventh year. This is The Horn. Head on Radio Network. Conversation Radio, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Thursday, October 27, 2011.
Everyone who wants this thing over more than I do, you know, I'd like my life back. And we are doing everything we can to return people's lives to normal as fast as we can.
BP's life returns to normal as the Obama administration approves BP's application for more deep water drilling in the Gulf of Mexico.
We are trying to reach everyone and to supply them with food.
More record flooding overwhelms Bangkok.
The issue of population is a critical one for all our humanity and for planet Earth.
World population to hit 7 billion by Halloween. Plus, speaking of Halloween,
once again, the planet huggers are turning our almond joy into almond shame.
Making your Halloween green.
All of that and much more planet hugging straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
I don't get this, man. Climate Gate was huge news. The debunking of Climate Gate got a total of 24 seconds of cable news coverage.
Guess you should have listened to the Green News Report, John. This is your Green News Report.
Liberal media, dude!
Okay, Des, Halloween is coming up this weekend. How do you plan to ruin it for all of us?
By telling you great ways to save money and reduce waste. How about that?
All right, carry on.
But before I ruin your Halloween...
We are dividing in groups, spreading out our men throughout the district to cover the area.
Massive evacuations in Bangkok, Thailand, as the worst flooding in over 50 years inundates the capital city, overwhelming flood control infrastructure that has not kept pace with rapid urban development. Nearly 400 people have died in the floods, caused by months of relentless rains from yet another record monsoon season. Thousands are trapped in their homes, say government officials. It's the latest in an expensive global trend of historic flooding around the world in 2011, which was predicted by climate scientists years ago.
The climate scientists that were ignored years ago?
Indeed. BP wins approval for new deep water drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. Just a little over a year after killing the blowout Macondo well in the Gulf of Mexico and finally capping the worst oil spill in the nation's history, oil giant BP has won the okay from the Interior Department to drill an even deeper exploratory oil well, its first in the Gulf since the disaster. Interior Department officials say BP has met all new safety requirements and has pledged to adhere to even more stringent voluntary guidelines that exceed government standards.
Oh, I'm sure they have. And they've fixed the problems that they had with the blowout preventers?
No, they have not, as environmental and conservation groups have continued to point out.
And yet the Obama administration continues to approve these leases.
Indeed they do.
What could possibly go wrong?
But the Grand Canyon is safe for a while. The Obama administration announced a block on all new uranium mine claims on the 1 million acres surrounding the Grand Canyon for another 20 years. But Republican lawmakers object, saying
there's... Of course they do.
Because they say there's no evidence that more uranium mining would harm the Grand Canyon watershed or the Colorado River. Current mining operations are not affected, however. Conservation groups have called for reform of the nation's 140-year-old mining law, which grants companies automatic access to most public lands in the West and allows them to mine for minerals without paying royalties to the public.
Oh, nice.
And let us be clear. It is not a matter of space. The population question is one of equity, opportunity, and social justice.
The United Nations projects that the 7 billionth, that's a billion with a B, the 7 billionth human being will be born sometime around the end of October and warns action needs to be taken on several fronts to reduce and manage the strain on the planet's resources. The UN State of the World Population Report in 2011 says consumption rates are what's rising much faster than population and calls for more education, better management, and improved infrastructure to more efficiently conserve dwindling resources like fresh water, which the report notes will be increasingly affected by climate change. It's that time of year again. It's time to green your Halloween. But not everyone is into saving money and reducing waste. Just ask Comedy Central's Stephen Colbert.
The idea is to keep things from the landfill. Instead of actually buying costumes, why don't you just take them over to a location and swap with some people?
Costume swapping? I'm sorry, but I don't want my kid wearing some old flammable plastic death trap. I want them wearing a new flammable plastic death trap.
And if that's not enough, Grist.org also reports that cheap chocolate perpetuates child farm slave labor in African countries, where half the world's cocoa supply originates. So whenever possible, choose certified fair trade chocolate. We have other links to green your Halloween at our website, greennews.bradblog.com.
Boo! All of the stories we covered today and those we didn't have time for are at our website, greennews.bradblog.com. Please stop on by. While you're there, please consider a donation to help sponsor the Green News Report, since BP still has not sent us what they promised. Download us anytime on iTunes, listen to us on your mobile device via Stitcher, and follow us 24/7 on the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Cool Genius, it's not your mother's soap.
Hey dude, wait 1 second, it's totally my mother's soap.
Bubble Genius, it's not your father's soap.
No, see, right here I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, it's stuff for my dog.
Holy crap, there's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Cool Genius, we got your soap right here.
And got your bath and body stuff.
www.bubblegenius.com.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Almost got to the hour two intro spot on time. That's nice. This is the horn. Thorn in the side Thursday. And, well, let's go to the phones. Is that okay by you? All right. I'm sorry. I can only deal with one or two slides at a time. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Juanita.
Well, Pat Robert's an expert on the Bible.
I suppose he's...
I mean, you used to watch him, and no matter what question anybody asked him about it, he knew the answer.
Oh, but isn't it interesting that his answer there came without any reference whatsoever to Scripture?
Yeah.
And I guess that's sort of in the same vein as the fact that, you know, whenever they're talking about the gays getting married and all the marriage equity and things like that, it never comes with anything out of the mouth of the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer, does it?
No. And, you know, they don't try to understand the 99. They don't
have any interest in it.
That's right. Absolutely. You're right. That's the best. They're unconcerned. They just got something that they can flap the jaws about, or the lips, or whatever. But you remember, I mean, I've said it a number of times, and I say it again, if that had been the Tea Party, nothing would have been, you know, that would have been fine. They could have had all the guns they wanted out there, and that would have been fine.
Well, I mean, that actually happened.
But our people can't, you know, can't be in peace, you know. They can't be allowed. That's the way, you know, you just look at it. And I thought things would be different after Obama got in, but I think people have forgotten what it was like before Bush, where you could demonstrate somewhat and not be assigned a certain, what is it, demonstration zones or whatever?
Oh, free speech zones? First Amendment zones, I'm sorry.
And it's supposed to be that all over the country. Unless you're hollering fire, and plenty of them are doing that in other ways, you know.
Oh, that's all the Repig Lickens are doing right now is yelling movie in a crowded firehouse.
But you know what I think about when I was a kid, I would read these funny books, and something really stuck out in my mind. You know, I used to love Batman and Superman and all those. And I remember one person said, "He who laughs last, laughs best."
Yes.
It's always stuck with my little mind. And I think about, like, Glenn Beck laughing, mocking, and making fun. And not only him. I mean, there's others, but just he's a big example of it. I mean, he did that about the people that lost their loved ones in 9/11. He said how much he hated them, but he hated the people in Louisiana worse, you know,
absolutely, yeah.
He could easily kill Michael Moore.
Yes.
But I mean, come on now. You know, these things are like I say, they're like yelling fire in an open room.
Oh, I remember when Beck said that Michael Moore probably smelled like hot dogs.
Yeah.
Just sleaziness, nastiness.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But
to talk about the people that, you know, like the people who lost their loved ones in 9/11 and say he hated them, but he hated the people in the Katrina worse. Come on.
You shall know them by their fruits, right, Juanita?
Oh, yeah. And I don't know. But I think about that saying, he who laughs last, it's not from the Bible or anything, I don't think, but he who laughs last, laughs best.
That might be from Aesop.
That could be. But, you know, you think about you laughing at people who are in a bad situation. Now, if he's laughing at that veteran.
Well, he was. I mean, you heard the audio. I mean, I didn't fool with it or anything.
Right. I mean, I'm not surprised.
He's having a big old giggle at the expense of Sergeant Shamar Thomas.
And then you got his.
I'd love for him to discuss that with Sergeant Shamar Thomas, preferably in an alley alley with very poor lighting.
Yeah. Well, you know, I saw him on. He was being interviewed on one of the shows on NSNBC. Donald.
Right. I saw some. Yeah.
You saw that, yeah. It's a nice guy.
Sure.
A real nice guy.
I mean, for heaven's sakes, his entire family has given of their service.
I think he really shamed
his mama, his daddy. You know, they all did tours over there.
What did they want those police to do? Jump him? Shoot him?
I think. We'll find out because eventually. You know, Beck's information filter is pretty tight, I think. It may take another week for Marine veteran Scott Olson's head injury to filter upward into the rarefied atmosphere that the Glenn Beck breathes, Juanita. But, you know, when that happens, I'm sure that'll just be funny as all get out, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, it wasn't funny when he was in the hospital, was it? Excuse me.
No, because that affected him, and he's not supposed to feel pain. Instead, no, he was, and all of that was over hemorrhoid surgery.
Yeah, which can be painful, but
I have no doubt of it.
And injury is very painful too.
But if you recall that whole diatribe, it turned into a scream fest about socialized medicine.
Uh-huh. Now, I didn't listen to it in that much detail. Just to hear him, you know, is obnoxious. You can't take it very long. It's just like you're talking about Joe Scarborough. I cannot make myself watch that program at all because I know I found out about him when he would be on Bill Maher's old show. What a right winger he was. And you know, he looks like a clean cut guy. And he'll say things sometime that'll make people think, oh yeah, he's pretty nice. He's not that bad. But then he comes out with these zingers. He'll zing this thing up. But what I really can't stand is to watch that lady on there.
Oh, Mika?
Because she's like an Alan Cohn.
I've never heard her described as such or compared as such. But I tell you what, you just threw the dart right into the center bullseye.
Well, the way she does is not, and her daddy was on there when she first started. I saw him and he was telling but and Jessica, oh no, that's not that way and her daddy knew it was about, you know, things that thought and she was so embarrassed that her daddy would talk to her boss, her new boss like that.
Well, now she's reduced to just making
just
most of the time she
had the nerve.
I was gonna say most of the time her job is to make googly eyes at him. And the other part of the time, she might get a word in edgewise, but I mean, I find it instructive in a way, Juanita, to watch that interchange because it is so authoritarian and patriarchal and patronizing.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And he had the nerve to say to her daddy, this big time general, you know, well, I guess you know more than I do about it. Like he, you know, was putting her daddy down, and she just kept on. She was so humiliated that her daddy would contradict her new boss. I can't believe it.
Oh, by the way, I just got an email in, Juanita, from Cassie at college up at Princeton.
Hey.
She says, yeah, hey, Cassie. She said, please tell Juanita that horn Jewish mom Texas Betsy can match Pat Robertson verse for verse, and Betsy can.
Well, tell her I was tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, I know. No, well, you tell her. I mean, you know, that she's listening.
Yeah, I was tongue-in-cheek, Cassie, because, you know, I was involved in that stuff.
Yeah, you followed it.
when I was going through a lot of problems, and I thought maybe he had the answers, and I found out that he didn't. But,
Well, you know what? I mean, you have my I know of which you speak because I can tell you that there was an official leather-bound King James Version PTL reference Bible in my home.
I got one, too.
Do you really? With the little PTL logo down in the corner?
Huh?
With the little PTL logo down in the corner?
Yeah.
Yep, that's the one.
Genuine, supposed to be genuine leather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if he's exactly the same. That was one thing about Jim Baker. You got a lot of gifts from him. Now, Pat Robertson's cheap. If you got something from him, you paid for it. I know I bought a few books, but you could give all the money you wanted to, and you weren't going to get nothing. But Jim Baker, every time you give him a dime, he would send you something. I've got a couple of Tammy Faye LPs, and I've got a... Some of the stuff I threw away a lot of stuff from all of that, and I wish I hadn't them now.
It'd probably be worth something on eBay, Juanita.
Right. But, you know, I'm just so disgusted and all. Jim Baker, but, you know, he's still crying for money.
Of course.
You know, he's in Branson. And I watched
Branson, Missouri?
Yeah.
He's got a hustle out there. I'll be darned. I had no idea.
He's on TV. He's on TV, and he's got this thing where you can get survivor's kits.
Oh, my.
But see, I haven't watched in a couple of years because I said, this is it. When he started saying, if we don't have such and such amount of money. We're just not going to be able to continue on this show. And I thought, this is it, man. Forget it.
See, that drives me crazy because I know the difference between these televangelist hustlers feeling like they're not sufficiently wealthy and actually looking at the next month and wondering if you're going, if we're going to keep going. I mean, that's
yeah.
No, I know that. Hey, by the way, speaking of just how sleazy Glenn Beck can be, just got a note in from David in Tennessee. Subject line, Beck's Bad Taste. I don't know if you ever heard about this, but Beck's Bad Taste. I don't know if you've ever heard this particular story.
I know he's got a bunch of tape.
Yeah, this particular story, Juanita. But about 15 years or so ago, Glenn Beck, when he was on the radio, he had a dispute, a feud with a competing disc jockey.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what he did. While he was on the air, he got the other disc jockey's wife on the phone to make fun of their baby that had Down syndrome.
Oh, my God.
And he laughed at her live on the air with her on the line.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know what? In right, and that just goes to tell you something, Juanita. In the right-wing media universe, that kind of sleazy, inhuman conduct is not punished. It is rewarded.
No, it's rewarded. That's right. That's right. And when they talk about the American people, they ain't talking about us.
Oh, no, we're not. No.
Whatever they think they are, that's what they're talking about. They're not talking about what we want or what we need.
No, not in the least.
But you know, they're 8%. Congress is 8% approval.
Yeah.
And those buzzers have been in there for, what, almost 10 months.
And not a single job have they added.
Not a single thing about jobs. It's mostly been about something to do with abortion, one way or the other. Some things you never thought of before. It's, you know, and it just, it's just absolutely insane.
Well, and it's also psychologically and pathologically wicked, evil.
You know, Bob, it says that God is not in confusion, and I forgot exactly what that was I was going to say, but anyway, oh, God is not the author of confusion, and they are not in His authorship. They claim they are. But that's even worse, to claim you're something like that. In my opinion, that's my outlook on it. You better watch out. And we think that it takes too long. But the times, they're changing, Bob. These people, I saw some of them, you know, that had been taken to jail in Oakland. And they come out and said, well, we're just going to figure out what to do next.
I saw a story today about a woman who was denied her multiple sclerosis medications by the Oakland police.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, this is... We're learning. And see, that's the importance of Occupy. We are learning a lot about the real-time, real-world feelings of a portion of the American population about a majority of the remainder. And it's not, and what we're learning is not inspiring.
Oh, let me tell you one more thing. Cassie, tell Cassie that I know that he's not an expert because he doesn't believe in animals going to heaven. Being in heaven, and I do.
Oh, I know you do. I know you do.
And you know what? And the how's just gonna come back on a horse? I don't. I mean, I'm just being.
Oh, I'd never heard of that.
But Pat, you know, yeah, he's. Oh no, the animals are not gonna be there. Well, look how what a little bit of heaven we have here with them.
Well, look, I'm far more inclined to trust Mark Twain on issues touching upon the afterlife than I am Marion Robertson. Yeah.
Yeah.
If heaven was based upon merit, our dogs would get in and we would stay out.
Yeah. That's right. That's absolutely right. But anyway, I wonder if Cassie's gonna have any classes with Cornel West. You know, he's in Princeton.
I don't know. We'll have to ask that question next time through. Next time she calls in.
I want to ask you. You know about C-SPAN having those things for teenagers to make little skits, you know, about different problems?
Don't think so.
And with I'll send it to you.
Okay.
I think one of your children could do this, you know, Ferg, or, you know, if you say you've got like one of those camera things.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he could do something on the mountaintop removal.
Wow, that would be neat.